Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
What in the world are the apostles doing? Jesus has already appeared to them twice, according to John's Gospel. And yet, what does Peter say? I'm going fishing. After all that he saw in Jesus' life and in his death, and now having seen the resurrected Lord twice, after all that has now come to light and who Jesus truly is as God's Son, Peter is going to do something as simple and really insignificant as taking a fishing trip. It seems out of place, but honestly, why not, right? Why not go fishing? Why shouldn't Peter go fishing? Jesus found him when he was a fisherman. In fact, the text tells us that he's with the sons of Zebedee, who also were fishermen. So why not go fishing? It's important for us to remember that the disciples had not yet received the Holy Spirit. That wouldn't happen until 50 days after Jesus' resurrection at the festival of Pentecost. And so they've seen the risen Lord, but then he seemingly has just disappeared and left them all on their own yet again. They don't know when Jesus will be back. They don't know when they will see him again, but they do know where. Jesus promised to meet them in Galilee. That's where they will see him. And so that's exactly where they are, on the Sea of Tiberias, the very same body of water where Jesus first found them. And so, back home, no Jesus physically present, fishing seems like a pretty familiar idea. But truth be told, Peter's probably a pretty lousy fisherman. I mean, I don't think he ever, you know, goes out for a night of fishing and brings in a nice catch ever in Scripture. Most of the time he's on a boat, he's terrified that he's going to die, or he's catching nothing. And that's what happens here too, right? It's like the song is stuck on repeat. He does the same thing again. But this is intentional in John's Gospel. You see, when Jesus first found the disciples, they caught nothing, and now they are catching nothing too. And it teaches us something. If the Lord doesn't bless the efforts, they are all in vain. And that's what God teaches us too. And whatever calling you have, whatever trade or occupation or profession, if you are going to be blessed in that, the blessing must be given by the Lord. And if you don't have his blessing, then there's no use trying at all. Because whatever you are doing will leave you unfulfilled. All right, so Jesus appears. He blesses their fishing trip, and thereby they receive this unexpected success. Now, all the disciples to this point would have known they had just received a miracle. But you know what's better than just getting a miracle? It's taking place in a miracle. It's being part of the miracle. It's one thing for Jesus' disciples to follow along and see him heal a blind man, for instance. But it means a whole lot more to that blind man who is actually receiving his sight than to the disciples who simply witnessed it. Now, we all know that Jesus is God. He's resurrected in glory. He demonstrates his divine power again and again. He can appear behind locked doors. He can disappear in an instant. He can even make fish miraculously appear in the nets of fishermen. There is nothing that is beyond the scope of his power. So why the theatrics? Why does Jesus do all of this with the disciples? Why does he kind of like mosey along the shore and kind of see them off in the boat and have this weird conversation with them about how best to fish and throw the net on the right side of the boat? Well, which is the right side? Is it this is the wrong side? That's the right side? The left, right? I don't know. But why didn't Jesus just zap a meal into existence? Why didn't he just like magically zap all of the disciples back onto the shore with their nets, with their boat, and with more fish than they need? It's because God blesses the efforts. It's because God allows his disciples to be a part of the miracle. And Jesus doesn't just zap food onto the shore, but what does he tell Peter? Bring some of the fish that you have just caught. Now, can Peter really take credit for this after fishing all night and catching nothing? No. Who caught the fish? Jesus did. But Jesus loves Peter so much that he even gives Peter credit for what Jesus has just done. God works through means. In this story, he uses the means of the nets and the boats and the men and their labor to bring about something as simple as a meal. And so too, if we want to think about where our food comes from, there are farmers and distributors and grocers and restaurants and all manner of things like this that bring us the food that we eat day to day. Now, can I say that our supply chain is some sort of miracle? No. But does God work it to give sustenance to our bodies? Yes. He uses all manner of people to bring about the necessities that we need in our daily lives. He works through all things to make sure that we have clothing and roofs over our heads and everything that we need to support our body and life in physical blessing. Even in your life, God works through you, through your hands, through your mind, through your intellect, for the good of those around you and for the glory of his name. God works through you. Why? Because God works through means. And so while he is indeed the one who has to bless our efforts, he still invites us to play a role in all of this. That's why as Christians, and this is important, we cannot be idle. There's a certain amount of idleness that has infected our world, and we think that for whatever reason, things are just going to get done. That things are just going to happen for our good without any effort on our part. And my friends, it's a lie. God works through means. He doesn't magically zap things into existence for your benefit. He uses people around you. That way you can have what you need in this life. And if he's doing that for you, it means that God can work through you to serve your neighbor. And your neighbor needs that. So we cannot be idle. We cannot be lazy. Our work, it's work to the Lord and it's work for the Lord. Our work is to be work that serves our neighbor and not just what we would call a job or a career. But in every single one of life's vocations. I mean, professions, sure, whatever. But in your family. If you're a father or a mother, how many other fathers or mothers do your children have? If you're a child, you have a very unique place in life. If you're a grandma or grandpa, you have a very unique place in life, and God expects you to serve in that place. What about amongst your friends? What about in the church? What about when you sign onto your computer and you have some sort of online presence going on? Are you using those things to serve your neighbor and to show your love for the Lord? Or are you using them for selfishness? If we believe that our lives are supposed to be lived to the Lord, with his blessing, that certainly informs how we are going to live our lives, what we are going to do, how we are going to speak, where we invest our time and our treasures. And speaking of treasures, 153 fish. Little treasure, right? But God provides for these people. There are seven disciples on the boat. And God provides 153 fish. I don't know what that works out to. Each disciple could eat 20 fish. That's insane. God provides way more than they could ever need. And so if we really want to bring in, you know, our own world and what we're experiencing now, I know that in the world there's a lot of anxiety over things like supply chains, and a lot of anxiety over things like inflation, or the fact that the stock market isn't doing well and our investments might be in jeopardy. But if everything that we do is done with the Lord's blessing, why do we need to be anxious at all? Why do we need to worry? None of this is cause for concern. God can miraculously make 153 fish show up in an instant. What are we worried about? He can certainly provide for our physical needs too. And he will. Because God works through means. This isn't just a reality for our physical lives. It's a reality for the church, especially when we talk about churchly things. God works through mysterious and miraculous ways for the benefits of you, his people. Who would think, in the grand scheme of history, the world over, that God would use something like a cross to save his people? He used a Roman execution method, that way the blood of his son could be poured out for your benefit. And Jesus was glad to serve you in his crucifixion, giving himself into death. That way you are forgiven. The means by which you receive that forgiveness is words. When the words are spoken into your ears, it is done for you. You are forgiven. And the moment you hear that, it is accomplished, just as Jesus said. You see, not one of us has come to faith apart from words. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Maybe you recall Sunday school teachers, pastors, family members, someone in your life who spoke God's word to you, and in that instant, you believed it. It means God worked through means to bring you to faith. In fact, maybe you're that someone for someone else in life right now. Maybe you have a friend or you have been a friend to someone sitting in the sanctuary right now, giving them encouragement and strength with your word and presence. Quite honestly, every time you all show up in the church, you encourage your pastor. Because God works through means. And it seems so simple, it seems so insignificant to sit in a pew for an hour on Sunday morning. But this is how God works. Maybe you were brought to the baptismal font by your parents or someone else, and in that moment you became a child of God. We just confessed it a moment ago as we did our catechism reading. Water combined with God's word is the means by which you become a child of God. It is the means by which heaven is torn open for you. It is the means by which you are saved. Chances are there was more than just your parents or sponsors involved too. Chances are there was a pastor there. When the pastor speaks God's words over the bread and wine and they become Jesus' body and blood, God works through means. And when you receive that holy meal, you are forgiven in that instant and your faith is strengthened. When was the last time God zapped knowledge into your mind? When was the last time God magically zapped faith into you? The truth is, it has never happened. We haven't seen miracles of people being restored, having their sight restored, or anything like this. We don't get that. But what we do have is a world through which God works in his people for each other. And in fact, we actually already confessed this, and I didn't even realize this until we just did the intro it. One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. That's the church. That's you. Whether it's physical, emotional, social things, and caring for those around us, or the forgiveness of sins that we receive in God's word, sometimes we think that our lives are simple and insignificant, like a stupid fishing trip. Sometimes it feels like we're not making any difference, or that God has something great in store for us that we haven't accomplished. And this is why we need to learn from Peter and the other disciples. To learn that the once dead Jesus now lives forever. And sometimes, God simply wants you to go through the motions in life. He simply wants you to be faithful right where you are. Sometimes, Jesus just wants you to go fishing. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.